Acts chapter number 9, if you look at verse number 17, and I sure appreciate all the teenagers going out soul winning today, and you teenagers are the best, and I sure enjoyed Sunday night. Did you enjoy those testimonies Sunday night? And what a blessing. Acts chapter number 9, verse number 17, and we're going to pick up with Paul the Apostle. Last week we talked about how Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, and this week we're going to be speaking to him going from being a persecutor to a preacher tonight. Acts chapter number 9, look at verse number 17. The Bible tells us, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, had appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, and that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened." Remember, he hadn't eaten for several days. "Then Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is it not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?" Father, I pray that you bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we talk about Paul going from being a persecutor to a preacher, it's kind of a neat thing to watch his early life and how God changed him. And how we look at our own lives, and how many would say, since the time that you accepted Christ as your Savior, you've changed a little bit. And that's the way it's supposed to be, I think. You know, when you get saved, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Amen. And so that's important, that we grow and we change. And you know, it's God's power that really changes us. Right. Have you ever known somebody who started going to church and they acted a certain way? And then when they dropped out of church, they went right back to the way that they were. So something wasn't real in their life. There was a surface change. And so my prayer is, as a pastor, that as people get saved in our church and start attending, that God does a real work in their life. It's not fake. It's not on the surface. Acts chapter number 9 records one of the greatest conversions in the New Testament. Saul, who had been a great persecutor of the church, would now become a great preacher of the gospel. After Saul was saved, the Lord sent Ananias to train and disciple him. Saul needed the touch of a disciple's hand. He needed to be recognized as a brother. Acceptance is the optimum environment for change. So what steps were required to turn Saul from a persecutor to a preacher? In your notes there, there's a bulletin that was tonight. If you didn't get one, ushers, we have any in the back there. If you didn't get a bulletin, there's a note in there. Raise your hand. They'll come find you right now. I want to make sure everybody has notes. And the first point there is, there was the infilling of the Spirit. The infilling of the Spirit. If you look at verse number 17, the Bible says, "And Ananias went his way, entered the house, and he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And so we see the infilling of the Spirit in Paul. John chapter number 14, verse number 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And we'll talk just for a second, even if I don't finish my lesson tonight, I really want to drive home this thought about being infilled with the Spirit. There's a lot of confusion floating around today about the filling or the infilling of the Spirit. And so we got to be careful with our terms. When somebody comes from a Pentecostal background or something like that, and they talk about being filled with the Spirit, they're talking about something different than what we're talking about. Even though we use the same terms, sometimes we got to make sure that we are being doctrinal in what we are saying. So let me just talk for a second about what it means to be filled with the Spirit, what it means and what it doesn't mean. And so the first thing, it's not in your notes, but just on the, as a sideline here, when are we filled with the Spirit? That's important. When are we filled with the Spirit is important. So teenagers, I'm going to ask one of you tonight, when are we filled with the Spirit? Are you ready? Are you nervous? When are we filled with the Spirit, Dominic? At salvation. Amen? I guess you could call them false religions or false teachers, will teach that you don't get the Holy Spirit at salvation. You get it later on. And some talk about having the sign gifts. If you heal somebody or you speak in tongues, that's a sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And some will teach that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and lose the Holy Spirit, and then be filled with the Holy Spirit and lose the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that the Bible teaches that when we are saved, we immediately receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity that lives inside of all believers. When and how He enters our hearts is debated for a few reasons. The first is the confusion over the terms indwelled with the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit, and baptized by the Holy Spirit. These are all terms that we come across in the book of Acts, and we're going to talk about that. The second reason is there a tendency of some to see that receiving the Holy Spirit in the early church, as recorded in the book of Acts, is the model for how we receive the Holy Spirit today. And may I say that we must be careful. We've said this before. The book of Acts is a transitional book. We cannot base the way that we do things all solely on the book of Acts. We must understand that there was a transition taking place. Scripture clearly indicates that believers are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit moves into their heart at the moment of conversion. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Could we go there? How about we have somebody help read tonight? Brother Bowman, would you stand and read 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 13, nice and loud. You have your King James tonight, right? Just making sure. You have that shirt on, so I wasn't sure. Just kidding, brother. Go ahead. Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
So the Bible tells us, thank you, brother. So the Bible tells us, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And so we understand that all of us, when we get saved the same way. Amen?
Amen.
I don't get saved and I don't get filled with the Holy Spirit because I spoke in tongues and you healed somebody. We all get saved the same way. It's all by one Spirit. We're all baptized into one body. All right, let's go to another verse here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter number 1. All believers have the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. A more specific moment that's mentioned in the Scriptures when we're saved is Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 13. And who's there? Raise your hand if you're there, and I'll have you read it. Brother Dexter, go ahead and stand and read that nice and loud. Ephesians 1, 13. So we see in that verse the exact moment after that ye what? You were believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. By the way, that's very important. Ephesians chapter number 1 is very important. We talked about Calvinism a little bit. We talked about that on one of the past messages last week. And we talked about how Calvinism is seeping into the churches. And Ephesians chapter 1 is very important because when we learn that we are not sealed with the Holy Spirit until what? After we believe. Paul the apostle was not saved until after he believed. And so we understand that salvation, and we all get saved the same way, and we're all sealed with the Holy Spirit at the same time. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9. Let's go there really, really quickly, please. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9. How about it? Mrs. Gonzalez? No women reading in the church. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing you. Romans chapter 8. How about a teenager? Stuart, would you stand and read us that? Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
All right, so we see this verse that ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And so we understand tonight that the Holy Spirit indwells us immediately after salvation. So when does the Holy Spirit indwell us? Immediately after salvation. When does the Holy Spirit indwell us?
Immediately
after salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. And listen, that's a very short Bible study. We could go into a longer Bible study if you like sometime. If the Scriptures so plainly state that all believers have the Holy Spirit, what's the controversy? There is a distinct difference between the Holy Spirit's indwelling us and the Spirit filling us. Now, the word, when I believe, and we believe that the Bible teaches that when we are saved, we get as much of the Holy Spirit as we're going to get.
Right, right.
In other words, I don't get half Holy Spirit, and as I become a better person, God gives me, pours a little bit more Holy Spirit in me. That's not what we mean. We don't mean filled with the Holy Spirit. When you hear a preacher sometimes say, be filled with the Holy Ghost, what he means by that, and what if I ever said that, what I mean by that is we are being controlled by the Holy Spirit that's in us. And listen, how many understand that you can be more or less controlled by the Holy Spirit in you?
Amen.
I mean, understand that. Raise your hand. In other words, if I'm tempted to do something, let's say I have a hard time with a certain sin, and when I'm tempted to do something, I can allow the Holy Spirit to control me, or I can push the Holy Spirit down and say no. And as I'm tempted, and the Holy Spirit says no, you should not do that. I can push the Holy Spirit down. But if I am filled with the Holy Spirit, in other words, I allow my consciousness really to be more submitted and allowing the Holy Spirit to control me, but I don't get more Holy Spirit when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Amen. He's in there. And isn't that a blessing that he's in there? Amen. And isn't it a blessing that we can't lose that? Brother John texted me this week. We were talking back and forth about Arminianism. And it's interesting that when one teacher gets out of the Bible and goes to one extreme. In this case, I'm speaking about John Calvin, and Calvinism came from that we're all predestinated. God, hyper-Calvinism, that, listen, there's no point for us even going soul winning because God's already decided that that's hyper-Calvinism. We come all the way over this way. Well, isn't it interesting when somebody gets way out of the biblical terms over here, somebody will come along and go all the way the opposite direction. That's Arminianism. We're not Arminius, I guess you'd say. We're not that way either. They believe you can lose your salvation. And so, but that's just as damnable of a heresy. And so once we get the Holy Spirit immediately after salvation, whether you like it or not, you're saved. Amen. And you can't do anything about it. I don't have verses on that right now, but we'll go into that another time. And so we talk about filling and infilling. The filling of the Holy Spirit was a tool used by God since the Old Testament. You can see in Deuteronomy chapter number 34 where Joshua was filled with the Holy Spirit. We understand that when before Jesus came and Jesus left, the Holy Spirit didn't stay in somebody. God would give them and would fill them with the Holy Spirit to do responsibilities that he asked them to do. In Joshua's case, it would be to go kill people. Come on. Am I wrong about that? God filled that man with the Holy Spirit. He went out and he conquered lands. Amen. And God would give the Holy Spirit. He would fill David with the Holy Spirit and so on and so forth. All right, I got to move on here. King Saul and his servants were filled with the Spirit. Then we see in Luke chapter number 1, verse number 15, the angel explains to Zacharias that his son, John the Baptist, would be filled with the Spirit. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit continued to fill people, including Acts chapter number 4, verse number 8, Paul in Acts chapter number 13, verse number 9, and the other disciples in Acts chapter 13, verse 52. The difference from the simple indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit experienced by all believers, as some confuse that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen, you could be saved, but you must be baptized by the Holy Spirit. We believe that baptism of the Holy Spirit is the point of salvation, being indwelled with the Holy Spirit. When you ask the Lord to save you, we do not believe that baptism saves you. Now, some false teachers will teach outside of the Bible that, you know, you can profess Christ, but until you get baptized, and when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, that saves you, and that's not biblical. We see that in Acts chapter number 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. We can talk about that for a long time. And so we believe that baptism of the Holy Spirit is when we ask the Lord to save us, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay, because we're talking about if you go back to the Old Testament and you look at when Moses parted the Red Sea and the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, it was a type of going through the blood of Christ. And so when we have faith in Christ, it's the blood of Christ that saves us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. And so when we get saved, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what we believe the Bible teaches. So we'll talk about baptism in a minute, but that's why there's a lot of controversy because of these terms people get all messed up on. All right, so the book of Acts is a fascinating look into the change from the age of Judaism into the church age. And we must understand that as we read the book of Acts, there's a change taking place. Jesus was a Jew, was he not? All of his disciples were Jews. Paul the apostle, by the way, was a Jew. And so all these men were under the law. And then Jesus died and was buried and rose again. And then there's a change taking place. And we understand that in Acts chapter number one, Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to wait at Jerusalem for when you get the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, they had it. Boy, and they had it forever. And so, all right, we need to move on here. I'm keep rambling. All right. Number A in your notes, and I'll close here in a minute. Preachers need the Holy Spirit's power. Preachers need the Holy Spirit's power. In our day, we think preachers are ordained ministers to lead churches, and that's true, but everybody is a preacher of the gospel.
Amen.
You are a preacher of the gospel. We ought to be. We ought to be preachers of the gospel. Let her be here. Families need to be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. We need to be controlled. We need the Holy Spirit's power in our families. One of the best known passages in the Word of God about being filled with the Holy Spirit is Ephesians chapter number 5. Yet, it is worth noting that this passage is given in the context of the home. And so our homes, we talk about from the pulpit sometimes about our homes being filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Does that mean we pray and we splash water around our homes and the Holy Spirit shows up? No, what that means is our home is letting the Holy Spirit control our home. Now, how many of you Christians, you've been saved for a while, the Holy Spirit puts something on your heart or in your mind and you know he's talking to you. It might be a type of music that you listen to, and you might be listening to that music, and it's like two pieces of sandpaper. And the Holy Spirit's telling you, no, 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 no. And how many understand what that's like? And it might not be music, it might be something else. Now, if you're not raising your hand, maybe you're tired or something, but maybe you don't know what that's like. You might not be saved. Amen. Because when you're saved, I remember getting saved, and I remember the things that I was doing didn't bother me. And then after I got saved, all of a sudden that Holy Spirit was real in my life. Boy, it's like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And you know, it's an amazing thing because it was something that I enjoyed and now I don't enjoy anymore because the Holy Spirit's, it's like that sandpaper. And so, the Holy Spirit, so we talk about our homes, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Render thou for to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. Romans chapter number 13, verse 7. It's talking about us being citizens and being people controlled by the Holy Spirit. It ought to be our desire to not just have the Holy Spirit, but to be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, number two, and I'll close here in just a second. The identification of the believer. So in verse number 18, of Acts chapter number 9, we see Paul the apostle gets baptized. Now, baptism is very confusing to some people. They believe some false teachers will teach that to be saved, you must be baptized, and that is absolutely false. Baptism is a symbol or a recognition or showing other people, I have decided to follow Christ.
Amen.
This is my decision.
Right.
Letter A in your notes there is you're identifying first with Christ. Identifying with Christ, by the way, used to mean, it means the same thing that it does today that it did in the book of Acts. But in the book of Acts, when you identify with Christ, you were basically saying, I'm ready to die. Because Christians at that particular time were being killed for their faith. And so if I was going to go out in a public ceremony and be baptized, I'm saying, back then, and when they were identifying Christ, hey, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to be martyred for my faith, identifying with Christ. And think about that in today's terms. When we baptize somebody, it still means the exact same thing. I identify with Christ. You know, there's some young people that come on our buses that get baptized. Their parents aren't for them being baptized. And boy, they make that decision on their own. And it might not be the same as the book of Acts, but they're going home. Their parents are saying, why are you doing that? Well, I'm identifying with Christ because that's what baptism is. It's showing the world, hey, I want you to know I'm a Christian. And I want you to know I made a serious decision. For those of you young people that were saved at a younger age and baptized, and then later on in life, the Holy Spirit was working and you realized you weren't saved, as the testimony we heard tonight of that young man. And maybe you're a young person and you were saved or you got reassurance of your salvation. I want to encourage you to get baptized. Because when do you get baptized? When?
After.
after you get saved. Amen. I want to encourage you about that. It'll help you with doubt in your life, because when you get baptized, you're saying, listen, I know for sure I'm a Christian. I know for sure I'm saved. I want to identify with Christ. And then also you're identifying with the church. By being baptized, Saul was identifying himself with the other disciples at Damascus. As soon as he could, he publicly took his stand with the local congregation. Paul was glad to be named among those of that way. The Bible describes those baptized as being added to the church. And this is not just a figure of speech. They were becoming part of something that they took very seriously. Some churches when somebody's baptized, they're automatically added to the church role. And as a member of the church, automatically. Our church has a one step in between. After you're baptized, we make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into as you become a member of our church. And so we talk about all those types of things with people before they join. But different churches do it different ways. But just so you understand that when you become a Christian, you ought to have a local church. You ought to identify with a local church. That's why we believe in church membership. You're saying to the church, hey, this is my church. I identify with this church, and so on and so forth. Letter number three here, the involvement of the ministry, the involvement in the ministry. Paul the apostle, right away after he was baptized, he got involved in the ministry. Letter A, he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel. And that ought to be something a new Christian wants to do, is preach the gospel, tell other people about Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That ought to be our prayer. Woe is unto me if I don't tell somebody about Christ. Every time we see Paul the apostle preaching, he declares salvation through Jesus Christ alone. He realized that God would judge him for his faithfulness to deliver the message that had been entrusted to him. And too many churches are looking for new methodologies and ways to change the old story. And I'm all for ideas, and I'm all for, hey, having a VBS or doing something to get, be creative. I'm all for that, but we must never change the message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That is the gospel. Let her be here. He was persecuted for the gospel. So he preached the gospel, and right away he began to be persecuted. Most people reacted negatively to Saul's preaching. Both the Jews and the Arabs living in Damascus hated his message of Christ. This established a pattern of persecution that would follow Paul for the rest of his life. No matter how much he suffered, Paul would never stop preaching. We see in the book of Timothy towards the end, I think 2 Timothy chapter number 4, where Paul says, I am ready to be offered. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. From the day that Paul became a preacher until the end of his life, he never stopped giving the gospel. He never stopped preaching. And that's the kind of Christian I want to be. I want to be the kind of Christian that no matter what happens, I keep preaching the gospel. Paul is a great example to us that after we're saved, we need to be ready to serve. Boy, right away, Paul was in the ministry doing something for God. And may we have that same testimony tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed.